Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on the 22nd March 2018 as part of Thursday Live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Salam, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and today we have a lovely bhajan on Lord Rama. This is how the first line of the bhajan flows.
Mohan Raghurama,
so this is the bhajan we will learn now, a lovely bhajan from the yesteryears, very simple lyrics. So let's get familiar with the lyrics and then we'll move on to the tune, the raga, the bhava. And in the bhava section, we will listen to a conversation with Brother Sonam Gamso, a former student of Bhagwan's University, who is a bhajan singer as well as an enthusiastic composer. So let's begin with the lyrics.
Mohana Raghurama, Ati Sundara Sri Rama, Maruti Sevita Rama, శ్రీ రామ రామ జయ రామ 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 సాయి రామ.
Now that we know the lyrics, here is how this bhajan should be sung. Brother Srinivasulu along with Brother Anirudh will now give us a slow demonstration.
We are singing this bhajan in D sharp pancham.
మోహన రఘురామా మోహన రఘురామా మోహన రఘురామా మోహన రఘురామా అతి సుందర శ్రీరామా అతి సుందర శ్రీరామా అతి సుందర శ్రీరామా అతి సుందర శ్రీరామా మారుతి సేవిత రామా మారుతి సేవిత రామా మారుతి సేవిత రామా మారుతి సేవిత రామా శ్రీరామ రామ జయ రామ శ్రీరామ రామ జయ శ్రీరామ రామ జయ రామ శ్రీరామ రామ జయ రామ 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 జయ రామ 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 జయ రామ 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 సాయి రామా రామ రామ సాయి రామా శ్రీరామ రామ సాయి రామా శ్రీరామ రామ సాయి రామా మోహన రఘురామా.
So that's a sweet bhajan on Lord Rama. Again, it's just the Namavalis and so beautifully arranged. It goes up into a beautiful crescendo and then brings you back through this beautiful array of swaras. For those of us who are keen students of music, probably would be keen to know how is this bhajan so sweet So Anirudh, what are your thoughts? What occurred to you when you heard this bhajan for the first time?
Sairam Vishu.
Sairam.
As you mentioned, it's a very sweet Namavali. Mohana Raghurama, Ati Sundara Sri Rama. It's, the lyrics itself conveys the feeling actually what I feel about the bhajan. It's so beautiful.
Yes.
And if you analyze the raga behind the bhajan, it is there in the first line of the bhajan itself, Mohanam.
Mm.
Or Bhupali in the Hindustani classical music. There are many bhajans and many compositions in this Mohanam Raga. First, let me take you across this five notes of Mohanam. Sa re shudri ga shudga pa dha shuddha sa dha pa ga ga pa re da re sa pleasant, very sweet tune.
Rama Rama Jaya Raghukula Tilaka Rajiva Lochana Ram Shri Rama Charanam Shri Rama Charanam Shri Rama Charanam Bhaje Shambho Mahadeva.
There are many more in the list of Mohanam bhajans. Many of the bhajans in the Mohanam are actually slow or medium.
Har 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 Sambha Shiva Chandra Kala Dhar Sambha Sada Shiva.
So this also is one of those medium bhajans, isn't it?
It's a medium bhajan. And
Rama 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 Jaya Kodanda Rama
is yet another Mohanam bhajan on drama.
Mm.
We have very few bhajans on drama in Mohanam. They are like Shri Rama Charanam.
Yes.
And Mohana Raghurama. And
Rama 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 Jaya.
And maybe a couple of few other bhajans. Whereas Shiva bhajans are more in the Mohanam.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned before, the tune is very pleasant. It's very easy to pick up.
Yes.
Because all the notes are shuddh and there is not much dynamics in the bhajan also.
Maruti Sevita Rama.
The standing on the same note.
Sri Rama Rama Jaya Ram. Rama Rama Jaya Ram Shri Rama Rama Sai Rama.
And of course the other interesting thing about this bhajan, you know, when I first heard this bhajan, I thought, oh, this is a Rama bhajan, but it starts with the word Mohan.
Yes.
Generally, you know, most of the time you have the word Mohan come in Krishna bhajan. So much we have associated it to Krishna. At least in my mind it was like that. But as you look at the meaning of Mohan, is someone who is just attractive.
Yes.
And Rama and Bhagavan always used to say how Ramyate iti Ramah.
Yes.
The one who is very pleasing. And that's what this bhajan also very beautifully conveys.
And
I don't know in how many bhajans do you... In which other Rama bhajan you have the word Mohan come in?
Yes, it's a rare thing.
Occurrence, yeah. But it's very beautifully composed, a simple bhajan and lovely. So let's do the swaras.
Yes, so the first line.
Mohan Raghurama Dasa sa sari gari sari ga ga pagari sa.
Dasa sa sa re ga re sa re ga ga pa ga re sa.
Ati sundar Shri Rama ga 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 pa da pa ga re ga re sa re sa da sa da pa.
Ga 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 pa da pa ga re ga re sa re sa da sa da pa.
Maruti sevita Rama pa da 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 pa ga pa da
pa da 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 pa ga pa da.
Shri Rama Rama Jaya Rama ga pa da sa 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 da pa da sa
ga pa da sa 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 da pa da sa.
Rama Rama Jaya Rama da sa sa da pa ga pa pa da
da sa sa da pa ga pa pa da.
Rama Rama Sai Rama gari ga pa gari gari sa
pa da pa gari ga pa gari gari sa.
Generally most of the Mohanam bhajans are bright.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So let's do the beat.
The beat of this bhajan is 8 beat or the simple Kehrwa in the Hindustani classical music. Let's have the count.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Mohan Raghurama,
Mohan Raghurama,
Ati Sundar Shri Rama,
Ati Sundar Shri Rama,
Maruti Sevita Rama.
Bhajans, you just drink the sweetness of just the name.
Yes.
Just Rama, Rama comes again and
yes.
again. In various tunes, in various melodies, it's just, as Swami says, you know, the name itself is enough.
Yes. So powerful.
Drink, yeah, you drink the joy of that name. And that's what this bhajan does. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Arvind Sai.
Thank you, Vishu.
Thank you, Vishu.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. Sai Ram. So that brings us next to the aspect of bhava. We have dwelt on the lyrics of the bhajan, the tune of the bhajan, the raga of the bhajan and the beat. Let's now spend a little time on what this bhajan is conveying to us. Brother Sonam Gyamso, a former student of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, who had the opportunity to sing in the Divine Physical Presence for more than 10 years, and even now sings in Prashanta Nilayam whenever he is here in the Divine Hamlet, shares his insights on what this bhajan means to him. Sai Ram, Brother Sonam, and welcome once again to the Bhava session of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom.
Sai Ram, Vishu.
Isn't this bhajan so sweet?
Mohan Raghurama.
Well, that is the first thought that comes to your mind as you listen to this bhajan. It is so sweet, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, the word Mohana, you know, normally is associated with, say, Manmohana Krishna.
Yes.
But Mohan is such a wonderful adjective to describe even Sri Rama.
Yes.
In fact, Mohan is the synonym of God, of goodness. When I think of Mohana, all that comes to my mind is not Krishna or Rama, because I have never seen Krishna or Rama in my life, right?
Mm.
Throughout our lives, we have seen only one God, the resplendent, beautiful form of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. And when I think of Mohana, only Sai Baba is the most captivating form.
Mohana Sai Rama.
Yeah, Mohana Sai Rama. The one who captivates your heart. The one who steals your heart, mesmerizes you completely. In other words, when you think of Mohana, I was thinking of the other side of Mohana, you know. It's not only one who attracts, but who steals the mind.
Steals the mind.
Yeah, who completely steals the mind, makes the mind completely...
Who steals the mind and steals the mind.
Steals the mind and steals the mind. So beautiful. I still remember Swami talking to us students, those who were in the bhajan group those days, and Swami telling us that one who is so attractive is God. Because by dint of that attraction, he pulverizes the dynamics of the mind, the activities of the mind, and makes the mind completely tranquil and peaceful. Such is the beauty of God. So when we think of Mohana, Mohana is not only one who looks very attractive, but one who helps us in our spiritual progress by looking so attractive, by being the epitome of beauty.
Wow, in fact, when I think in the light of what you said, he is called Mohana not only because he is so beautiful,
yeah,
but he brings out the beauty in us.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, in the presence of Bhagwan, we are at our best.
We are blossoming.
We are blossoming.
Yeah.
We are all the time at our pure best.
Exactly.
You know, when you want to present yourself to Bhagwan, you want to ensure that you're pure in your body, mind and soul.
Yes.
And he is that who brings out the true beauty in you.
Exactly.
Isn't it? I think that is what was happening in the Krishna avatar, in the Rama avatar.
Exactly.
When people, when they saw Rama, I feel that is the difference between God and between, say, a celebrity. You know, sometimes people say that, you know, okay, there are even thousands of people gathering to see a celebrity. What is the difference?
Yes.
And there are thousands and lakhs of people waiting to see God to have darshan.
Yes.
What is the difference?
Yes.
Here, when they see God, they are elevated. No one else can elevate you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They bring out the beauty in you, the beauty of the soul in you.
Yeah.
And I think that is something really fantastic, and that only the divine incarnation or an enlightened master can do, where each person feels complete.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, when I joined the Vrindavan Arts Science and Commerce College, I joined Swami's Institute in Vrindavan. Now that I was a student, and we had so much access to Bhagwan by His divine grace, one day he asked me, now that you are a student, how do you feel? He was asking me about your spiritual progress. He used to ask every student about his spiritual progress. 1 month into being a student, Swami would invariably ask, how's your spiritual progress? 2 things. Are you physically comfortable and happy? And then when we would say, Swami, yes, we are very happy and comfortable, then Swami would ask, how's the food? And the next question would be, how is your spiritual progress? Now that, you know, you are comfortable, snug and comfortable with good food. And then Swami would ask, how is your spiritual progress? And I asked Swami, I told Swami, Swami, I am very happy. I seem to be making a lot of spiritual progress, waking up early in the morning at dawn, doing Omkar Subrabhatam, this, that. I kept rattling on and on. And then Swami said, now you have become a good human being.
Become a good human being.
You have become a good human being. You have begun your life now, sort of thing, you know. Then I told Swami, Swami, before I joined Swami's institute, I used to look at the students and I had this yearning deep in my heart that I want to be like these demigods. Those who are with you, they looked like you, Swami. Then I also longed so much to be a part of this flock. Then Swami said, why did they look so beautiful? Because they were in my presence. They are with me. So I said, Swami, is it a physical time frame, like, you know, being with you? Or can anyone be with you anywhere? Swami said, I'm everywhere. So wherever your thoughts are with me, your yearning is for me, I'm with you. And then you are bound to look beautiful. So it was a great mesmerizing moment for me when Swami described it so beautifully. And within the precincts of the same Vrindavan, much later, when I was into my third year graduation, we had this beautiful session with Swami in the Vrindavan, Swami's safe room. You remember the safe room in Vrindavan? Yeah.
There was a safe there.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why it was called a safe room. But I think all the experiences that students have had with Bhagwan in the safe room are really very, very safe.
Very safe.
In their hearts.
And you would feel very safe and comfortable in that room.
Oh yeah. You have Swami all for yourself.
Yeah. Inside the safe room, Swami seated on the divan, so glorious and beautiful. And then Swami that day started asking each one of the senior devotees who were seated there, very powerful people, very important people in public life, but then seated there at his lotus feet like small children, like our seniors only, you know, very elderly people. So Swami started picking on each one of them and said, see, you are sitting so stooped and bent. You look so old and haggard, Swami told one of the devotees. Then Swami kept asking everyone, about our sitting postures and then how old you look. And look at me, Swami said. I look all the time ever youthful, so beautiful. I had never heard Swami till that day describe himself in such glowing terms, you know. Then Swami said, did you smoke? Did you drink? Swami kept asking each one of the devotees, and it so turned out that most of the devotees had been former, you know, they had at least once in a while drunk or smoked. So Swami said, look at your bad habits. You left it, but then you had those bad habits with you. But in association with the avatar, you left those bad habits. And then Swami said, now look at me. I look so beautiful. Then he described his hair. Then he described his eyes. He called it lotus eye. My eyes are so beautiful. And then my sight is, I have such fantastic, wonderful sight. I can see anything, and even at a few miles away, I can see things. Then look at my vrikuti, the Bhrumadhyasthan in between the eyes. That hollow in between the eyes, Swami said. Then he looked at my nose. Everything well proportioned, beautiful and well maintained. Then look at my lips. Then Swami said, look at my vyanjana on my neck. Then we craned our necks to see the vyanjana. They were, unmistakably, there were three lines on his neck. Those three frettles or whatever you call it, you know, three frills on his neck. He said, these are the marks of the avatar. And then look at my whole body and my weight. Everything is so perfect. I look so perfect. I am the very epitome of perfection. And then Professor Kasturi was there. And Professor Kasturi said, Swami, you look so beautiful because you are God. Swami said, no, you don't need to use divine powers to look so beautiful. Because I have cast myself in your mold. I have taken a human form. And to maintain this beauty, you have to be spiritually oriented. And you should live a very regimented and disciplined life. Then alone you'll look beautiful. It was a very big revelation. Swami said, any one of you can look beautiful. Beautiful in your own terms. And then he said, to look this attractive, to look this beautiful, all that you need to do is live a perfect human life. You'll look beautiful always. Then he said, beauty is not outside. Beauty is inside. Then he went on to tell us what is handsome and beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Then he asked one of the persons, somebody said, one of the students from Gokulam said, Swami, men are handsome, women are beautiful.
Mm.
And then Swami said, no, even women can be handsome.
Mm-hmm.
You have never heard of a handsome woman or a beautiful man? Then he said that handsomeness has to do with the external garnishing. The way you try to look beautiful externally. With all the cosmetics that you wear on your face, you try to look beautiful. With all your costumes and cosmetics. But the beauty is the beauty of the spirit. So when the inner beauty, when there is a confluence of body, mind and soul, the inner beauty is reflected on the body, Swami said. And that is what makes you look attractive, Mohana. Otherwise, you won't look attractive even to your wife, Swami said. It wears off over the passage of time. Everything wears out. You will cease to look beautiful. But as long as you hold on to the spirit, then you be the spirit. Never forget that truth. Then you will always eternally look beautiful.
No, I think Swami mentioning that if you are a perfect human being, you will be beautiful.
Yeah.
And I think that is what Lord Rama was.
Yeah.
Lord Rama, as Bhagwan always says, he was an ideal human being. He was an ideal brother, ideal husband, ideal son, ideal king, ideal friend, ideal comrade. Everything ideal master. A perfect human being. And that is the reason why he was Mohana. He was so beautiful. He was so captivating. And
ideal life.
Ideal life. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Swami said, Swami would tell us quite often that if you stick to your ideologies, then you are ideal.
Yes.
No, we keep, shifting.
Yes.
Then you cease to be beautiful. Cease to be that perfect man. So to be a perfect human being is what you should begin your life with. So every time, excellence and perfection. Swami was telling us on one of those days in the same safe room, who is Sai? And somebody told Swami, Swami, Sai is God. Swami said, all that is understood, very theoretical. But who is Sai, tell me? Sai is perfection, Swami said.
Oh, wow.
And if you are perfect, believe that Sai is with you. If you are living a very imperfect life, if you are not striving for perfection, you are not striving for Sai. You are miles away from Sai if you are not perfect. So live a very perfect human life. You are living with Sai. Don't worry. He would make it so simple.
Wow.
Now that, the word Manamohana gives you this beautiful reflection of the inner reflection. The outer reflection is always there, being looking very attractive and Ramyate. Last time also we were talking over Ramyate iti Ramaha. Swami's beautiful definition of Rama being the one who is all the time exuding joy and giving joy to people.
Yes.
So being Rama is being joyful.
Yes.
Filled with that bliss. But then the inner connotation of the word itself being sublimating the mind. How to sublimate the mind? That's so important. And that reminds me of Swami again telling us time and again about whether you live a sun-centric life or a moon-centric life. So if you look towards the moon, it's only a reflection of the sun. And the light of the moon is so murky. Everything looks very hazy and nothing is clear. There is no clarity in it. And in fact, you think of a moonlight and then you think of a honeymoon. These are all delusions, Swami would say. Yes, strolling during a full moon night with your girlfriend. These are all very romantic, Swami would say. But the blazing glare of the sun, the radiance of the sun is the truth. It shows everything in its clarity. With clarity, it shows everything in its true nature. So that being sun-centric and moon-centric, that suddenly it reflected this morning. I was thinking about the Raghu Vamsha.
Yeah.
Sri Ramachandra ji, he was the lord of the solar dynasty.
Yes.
The sun dynasty.
Yes.
He presided over the brilliance of thousands of millions of infinite number of suns. And then on the other side you have the mind, which is the moon. The Chandrama Manaso Jataha Chakshu Surya Jayata. Mind being the presiding deity of the mind, the moon being the presiding deity of the mind, and the sun the deity of the soul. Representing the soul, the soul. Spirit.
And that's a very interesting thought. You know, we have to all the time ask, are we sun-centric or are we moon-centric?
Moon-centric.
Because the whole world is actually a reflection of the divine.
Yeah.
Whatever we are pursuing all the time, it is just a shade, of the source and the glow of the divine. You know, all the material positions or relationships or whatever we are aspiring for in this world, we are all the time actually being moon-centric.
Exactly.
We are only, we want a reflected glory.
Exactly.
But Swami is telling you got to change your perspective from looking at the reflection to looking at the source, getting it directly from the source.
From the source.
So you have to be sun-centric.
Exactly.
So if when we are with the Lord, when we are singing a bhajan, when we are chanting the word Rama, if we can all the time question ourselves, am I today, how much time did I spend being moon-centric and how much time did I spend being sun-centric?
Exactly. So beautiful. Talking about source, you know, it reminds me of, these are definitely not distractions from what we are talking about. We are focused on what we are talking about. And this is how every time Swami guides you and me and puts us in the right perspective, you are talking about the source. And, you know, during one of those bhajan sessions, I was trying to feel within the depths of my heart and try to sing with feel. Because you, in the presence of Bhagwan, Swami would all the time tell us that you have to sing with bhavam. After the bhajan, I was feeling completely forlorn and downcast that today I sang the bhajan like a machine. I didn't sing it with my heart. That bhavam was not there. That's what I was feeling. A type of vacuity sometimes you would feel, you know. And then I was thinking of that and feeling very lonely and left out. And then Swami, after the bhajan, Swami came out for a second time. After the bhajan. Very unusual in the evening. Before he would straight away after bhajan, after Mangal Aarti, he would retire to his living quarters, you know.
Yes.
But then he came out, and then we were all seated there. Everyone ran towards the entrance of the interview room. And then Swami was standing there. And just to me, he looked at me, and very casually he said, "No force, only source." Then I just went out. Everyone made way for me. So I went and stood near his lotus feet, stood on my knees, and then I said, "Swami." And Swami said, "Don't use force. Go to the source." It was an enchanting moment. It opened up all the vistas of my being. Like I thought, I was thinking so guilty about, feeling the vacuity that today I didn't sing it with feel. So when I was feeling that way, I was trying to sing with feel. You can't try to sing with feel. You can't force it out.
Yes.
It
should happen just naturally.
Naturally. It should express itself naturally. So it will express itself naturally when you are one with the source all the time.
Yes.
And when you are not one with the source, when it doesn't come out from the source, then you will try to use it, try to, you know, express it very indirectly. Sometimes, you know, it becomes a show. Swami would say hysteria. Swami's word for these expressions were just one word, hysteria. So we would be hysterical all about the bhava when it was so simple. So when you talked about the source, and then if we are all the time with the source, then we are all the time beautiful. So much he would tell us about being a Mohan. Each one of us is a Mohan. Each one of us can be mesmerizing, captivating, if we live with the one all the time in that consciousness.
I think when we are singing, I think it's a common experience. When you are singing or speaking about the Lord, if you really feel deeply connected when you are doing that, then you know you actually lose sense of your own self.
Exactly.
And I think those are the moments when everyone in the audience connect.
Yes.
Those are the moments when you actually have obliterated yourself.
Exactly.
And you have just become a medium. And Swami used to say, sometimes you used to ask, singer or sinner?
Yeah.
Singer or sinner?
And then Swami would also say, if you are a singer, then be a seeker first.
Seeker, yes.
If you are a seeker, then you are a singer.
Yes.
Then you are not a sinner. So beautiful puns. Beautiful puns. And then this reminds me also of Vishu, the Patanjali Maharshi's Yoga Sutra. The very definition of yoga.
Yes.
Is yoga chitta vritti nirodha.
Nirodhaka.
Yeah. So the chitta vritti, the ripples that are created by the pebbles thrown into the placid waters of the mind. Swami calls the mind is manasarovar.
Yes.
And then the ripples created, and then the resultant, you know, deviations. All these dichotomies, deviations, these come out of those ripples. So to calm the mind is the very purpose of yoga, or the expression of yoga. So I started thinking, even as we are conversing just now, that, you know, God is one, Sri Rama is one, who makes each human being a yogi.
Yes.
A yogi with that experience of having calmed the mind. Because the moment you think of Rama, the mind becomes very calm and tranquil, very peaceful. Even the thought of Rama, because we haven't seen Ram, but we can think of Rama and experience Rama in that calmness within. So that makes you a yogi.
Wow. I think every bhajan session is one session which enables us, at least for those few moments, to become like a yogi.
Exactly.
Isn't it? I mean, you somehow feel detached with everything of the world.
Yes.
Your mind is fully focused on the divine, if you are singing with bhava.
Yes.
And you experience the bliss of that yogic ananda, if you are really singing it only for the Lord.
Yes.
And with no other thought. Then you have experienced that bliss of union with the divine.
Yeah.
And that is what Swami says is the purpose of, all our existence. And bhajans give us a glimpse. Bhajan sessions give us a glimpse of that glorious life that we can lead at every point in time.
Exactly. The thrill of that, of being a yogi, even for a fraction of a second. Maybe.
Yes. And another very beautiful thing about this bhajan, apart from the description of Rama. I mean, you just all the time actually just chanting the name of Rama in this bhajan. You also have Maruti Sevita Rama.
Maruti Sevita Rama.
Another such a fantastic exemplar devotee of the Lord.
On Hanuman Chalisa, on Hanuman Jayanti, Swami would tell us your elder brother's birthday.
Oh, Swami used to say that?
Swami used to say, today is your elder brother's birthday. So Hanumanji is every one of us, our Agraj, our elder brother.
Wow. I didn't know that we used to celebrate Hanuman Jayanti. In Swami's presence. Of course, it's not celebrated formally as a festival, but Swami used to mention this.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because he's the foremost among devotees.
Devotees.
And we are also treading the same path of devotion. And Hanumanji has, he shows us the way.
Yes.
This is the way to be, you know, this is the Godward way.
So we should all pray to Hanuman. He is our elder brother.
Yeah.
And seek his help.
Yeah,
his
seek
support.
His help. Yeah.
An elder brother is always willing to help, you know. And with his grace, we can love Rama the way he loves Rama.
Really?
I think every bhajan, you know, wherever the word Hanuman comes, it should be one opportunity where, you know, we take his support and we seek his blessings.
Yeah.
So that we can also love Rama the way he loved Rama.
Really? You know, one of the students during those days asked Swami, Swami, how to love you? The way you want us to love you, how to do that? That one-pointed love. Swami said, don't you love yourself? He said, yes, Swami. Throughout my life, I have been doing that. Swami said, if you love yourself, now all that needs to be done is believe that yourself is Sai. So you are loving Sai all the time? He made it so simple. It's not difficult for you not to love yourself. Because even in a very selfish way, we have been all the time living for ourselves, eating for ourselves, doing things for ourselves, not knowing who the self is. Now you understand the self is Sai. Then you are doing everything for Sai.
Just keep telling yourself, I am Sai.
Yes. It's a very natural transition, Swami said. Just believe that you are no one else but Sai.
If you keep telling, I am Rama, I am Rama, I am Rama, you will become Rama.
You become Rama.
If you keep telling, I am Sai, you will exude that love,
exactly.
That Sai all the time radiates. In fact, I was just this morning thinking that, you know, what happens when love casts its spell?
Yeah.
You know, when love casts its spell, you no more see the skin, you only witness the smile.
Beautiful, beautiful.
You don't hear the mind, you only listen to the soul. You don't feel the difference, you only experience the convergence.
Yeah.
And I think that is
beautiful.
What
beautiful.
Chanting the name of the Lord should do to us, because as we chant, just like Bharata, our chanting Rama and thinking about Rama ultimately became so much like Rama that people are not able to distinguish him, because he was exuding that aura,
exactly.
That purity and that beauty that Rama was, as Bhagwan very beautifully used to narrate.
Yes.
And I think that is what every Sai devotee should aspire to be, isn't it? Every Sai devotee, everyone who is touched by the Lord, if we are able to make Sai so suffused in our lives that whatever comes out of our lives, that it always has that spark of Sai in it, whether we speak, whether we talk, whether we act, then, you know, people will experience not us, not our little self, but only Sai.
Yeah.
And I think these bhajans are only instruments that Bhagwan has given us to help us in this endeavor.
Beautiful.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, sir, for this beautiful satsang. I know we can go on and on talking about every facet of the divine, but really grateful to Swami for whatever moments he blessed us with to discuss this bhajan, which is again a very beautiful gift from him to all of us.
Yeah. The last parting word I would say, you know, the definitive signature of Swami on the bhajan, on this bhajan again, Mohan Raghurama, and the bhajan is in Mohanam Rag.
Yes. Well, he's the composer.
He's the composer.
All the time.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
That was Brother Sonam Gamso, an alumnus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. And with that, we now move on to the final part of this classroom, where you will listen how this bhajan sounds when sung in the sacred presence of Prashanthi Nilayam.
Oh. मोहन रघुरामा
मोहन
brings us to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to a listener at radiosai.org. With gratitude and love, we offer this endeavor at His lotus feet.
You were listening to an episode of our program Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This episode was first aired on the 22nd March 2018 as part of Thursday Live from Prashantinilayam on Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.